The entrance antiphon for today, it starts off with rejoice. Gaudete, rejoice. It's the third Sunday of Advent, so it's like we're getting close. Hang in there. Christmas is coming. Coming really soon, actually. So that's why we're wearing rose-colored vestments. I think Deacon Frank looks really good in that. Because it's kind of a, well, it's a different color, but it's supposed to be kind of a rejoicing color. That's the idea. So how many times have I had a conversation with someone who describes some habit or belief that they have, and I'll ask, I think I try to be in sincerity with no judgment, what makes you committed to that habit or that belief? And they kind of shrug their shoulders and change the subject, right? Or I change the subject. I stay up too late, you know, I drink too much coffee, I spend too much time on social media or just media in general, or whatever it might be. St. Paul tells us in that second reading today in Thessalonians to test every spirit. And that's not just advice from the first century, that's relevant each and every day of our lives. How many decisions, big and small, do we make every day? And how do we go about testing those spirits? I think John the Baptist, from the gospel today, can help us understand this a little better. In the gospel, we're told that a man named John was sent from God. First of all, the gospel calls him a man. He's not an angel. He's certainly not God. But he has been commissioned by God. So we're told. So let's do a little testing with John the Baptist. First of all, in his favor, he doesn't have anything that he's selling. He's not trying to promote himself or enrich himself. In fact, he actually downplays himself. One could arguably say maybe too much. He says, I'm not the Christ. That's correct. He says, I'm not the prophet, meaning a successor equal to Moses, which is correct. But he also says, I'm not Elijah, which Jesus later explicitly says in the gospel that John was in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, maybe that's a distinction between being Elijah himself returned versus being in the spirit and power of Elijah. But John was certainly more focused on his message than he was on himself. So there's some humility here. And just as importantly, there's some real dedication to his mission. I test John's spirit to be sincere. It's also important to see if it's true. He declared himself to be a voice, not the voice, but a voice, crying out in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord. Again, we see John so dedicated to his mission that he says the only important thing about himself is his voice. And the only important thing about his voice is calling people to make a way for the Lord to come to them. This might be another reason, maybe, why John lived out in the desert, why he dressed and lived so exceedingly simple. You know, the wild honey that he ate, lived on, may also have been good for his voice with all that crying out. I don't know exactly. But John didn't himself, he didn't want himself to be a distraction from the message. I have a message, a really important message, and my only care for myself is what I need to communicate that message. The beginning of the gospel said that John came to testify to the light. His primary message was to convince us to make straight the path of the Lord, who's coming, who is coming. John testifies that the Lord is light. And this light, this divine light, will illumine the way for us to walk. In fact, already from a distance, the light of the coming Lord illumines for us what needs clearing out, what needs filling in. In other words, making straight the path of the Lord. In other words, John seems to be saying that because Christ is already coming, already on his way, we begin now to straighten out our lives, even before the Lord gets here, because of that light that shines out ahead of his arrival. Where is the Lord's light already in your life? Where is it shining already on your life? Where do you already see things in your life that need clearing away and straightening out? Have you made a prayer space in your house yet? I've asked that a couple times. Is there some hill or mountain of unforgiveness that needs to be taken care of? Is there an invitation that you want to make to a friend to come to church with you? Are there some changes you want to make to your environment, wherever you live or work, so as to avoid near occasions of sin? The message of John the Baptist is still proclaimed today through other voices, and the light of the Lord still shines today to enable us to prepare his way. In that regard, I think this particular spirit has been tested over and over now for 2,000 years, and it remains a spirit that is unselfish, simple, desirous of the good, and sincerely interested in continuing conversion of mind and heart. If the Spirit has been tested and found to be good and true and enduring, then St. Paul in that second reading says, don't quench that Spirit. And so in the spirit of both John the Baptist and St. Paul, I urge us not to quench this spirit of John the Baptist. We're going to not just not quench, but dunk in living water here, Santiago, in just a little bit. That's a spirit. We're going to cast out any evil spirits, any influence of evil spirits, and fill him with the great, true, and tested spirit that is holy, Holy Spirit himself. So, in that spirit, we need to not quench the spirit of John the Baptist that is still alive and active today, that still calls us to repentance and to simplicity today. And I want to say that the message is not just generic repentance and simplicity, but very specifically, repentance and simplicity for the sake of preparing the way for the Lord, for Christ. This message from the Baptist is precisely what we call a prophetic utterance, which St. Paul says, do not despise. Maybe you would do well to ask the Lord for a prophetic utterance on how to change this or that habit in your life. Just, Lord, give me the word. Give me the knowledge. Give me the fortitude to make whatever change is needed, that you see is needed in my life. Whether he gives you such a prophetic utterance or not, in and of itself, is no reflection on his desire to have those changes or whatever changes happen in your life, or any reflection on his closeness in your life. It's totally dependent on his will and what he sees to be for your greatest good. But every day we can and should embrace those spirits that have proven trustworthy and necessary for our lives. That certainly includes Scripture. All Scripture is good and necessary. There's some beautiful and powerful prophetic utterances in our first reading today from Isaiah about God's passion for our freedom, for our release from all addictions, great and small. And that would certainly include the prophetic word that comes to us today in the gospel from John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord in my own life, in your own life. So the homework for the week is pray these Sunday readings again, asking the Lord for the prophetic utterance in them that he wants you to act on this week. Read them with that prayer in mind, with that seeking in mind. What's the word that you are calling me to act on this week? You know, Scripture isn't just the Hallmark channel for church. It's the prophetic utterance that we need to put to work in our lives. It's the word of power. It's the word of truth and goodness.